Let's open our Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 12. We won't look at too many verses. I don't want to rush through these because they're all so very important. Romans chapter 12. The first part of the book of Romans is talking about how to be saved. The last part of the book of Romans talks about what to do once you are saved. And it's just a list of some responsibilities, if that word intimidates you, some opportunities, amen? Things you can do, things God will reward you for, things God will show you how to do if you'll ask. I'm still stuck on that verse, if any man lack wisdom, God will give it to him. And so we're going to look at a couple of things tonight here in Romans chapter 12. And you got to be careful, because when you think about these verses, and I'll show you a couple of things tonight, you're going to be inclined to think, oh, I know somebody who needs that. Or, oh, I know an example of someone who's not like that. Rather than that, ask yourself, how am I? Am I like that? Is that what I do? And then again, just look at these not as obligations or tasks or things that you just got to do because the Lord said to do it, but look at them as opportunities. Look at them as things that God is going to bless. He's going to reward you for it. He's going to give you strength to do it. He'll make you better at it. What a great list we've got here. So I'll just read a couple of verses and have a word of prayer. We'll look at a couple of these responsibilities tonight and see how far we can get before 8 o'clock. You can remain seated. I'm going to read beginning in verse 10. We've already looked at a couple of these. But he says in verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight. It's probably, when we look at this list, probably comes to our mind that these are things that we may have trouble with. Or these may be things that we don't feel like we have trouble with, but we might ought to examine ourselves again and consider just where we stand. And I pray that we would be successful, not just at the few things I just read, but at living for you. And what we really see here is just an opportunity to live for you. It's a kind of a recipe for Christian life. God, help us to work on these things, to realize how important they are, to focus on them and to apply them the way you tell us to. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was on the internet the other day and I found a recipe for Shirazi salad. Anybody ever heard of a Shirazi salad? Good. I'll teach you how to cook something. It's easy to make. Shirazi salad is from Iran. It's a Middle Eastern food. And the first time I had one, there's a restaurant called the Persian Room down in Tucson. And wow, what a great salad. And in that recipe, had a list of things that need to be in that salad. And I'm telling you, if you ever have one, you'll want another one. It's got fresh diced cucumbers in it. It's got diced tomatoes in it. It's got small pieces of diced red onion, not too much. It's got parsley in it, fresh parsley and fresh mint, and that's part of the secret. And then it's got really good olive oil. And there's a couple of more things I'm leaving out by memory, but the trouble is, I know how it's supposed to taste, but I've never ever made one yet, and I'm kind of afraid I'll miss a step or I'll leave something out, and it won't be as good as the one at the restaurant, because the one I had at the restaurant was terrific. Just a really good salad. And I want to replicate that, because I don't want to pay for it. I want to do it at my house. But you think about how to make something like a salad or a fine, some kind of thing you're going to cook. And You know, if you just miss one of the ingredients, or if you just miss one step, or if you just do one thing wrong, it doesn't work, does it? Sort of like trying to make bread without yeast, or I won't tell any more of those kind of stuff. I love cooking, but anyway, there's things that have to be done right. Now, don't you think God wants you and I, as born-again Christians, to have certain things in our life so that He finds us pleasing? I'm just trying to be honest without being unkind. It is possible that we may have a lot of things right, but be missing a couple of ingredients, or be missing a couple of steps, so to speak, or doing a couple of things that are not right. And I can tell you from experience in the lives of other people, and I'm sorry, but maybe in my life sometimes, if it's not all there, it's not good enough. Somebody may know the Bible, they may know doctrine, they may be a great speaker, they may be an aggressive soul winner. But folks, one of the most important things in the Bible, not necessarily the most important, but way up on the list, is how we treat one another. Amen? What does he say right here in verse 10? He says, be, just look at the words he chooses, kindly affectioned. Of course, we use the word affection as the word love. And I did not dig into the Greek here. It doesn't really matter. Just enjoy the English. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. It's not good enough to pray and read your Bible and be a soul winner and et cetera, if you don't love one another. In fact, if you read Corinthians, and Steve Harris preached a good message on this last time he was with us, if I recall, that's when it was, about if you do things but you don't have love, remember what Corinthians says? You're just like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're just a noisemaker. Folks, we've got to love each other. Amen? God needs to help us love each other. I can tell you, like, I'll just pick somebody. I'm standing up here, and we're getting ready to start, and I see this orange flash go by the doors. And I'll tease a little here. I thought to myself, who would wear a shirt that bright? It's easy. That's got to be Mr. Gonzalez. He's the one. And that made me happy to see you come to church tonight. I walk into church tonight and I see you folks and I think, oh, it's good to see you. Dantes is always the first one here. How do you do that? Oh, you live real close. Okay. I walk in the back door and I see him and I think, hey, praise the Lord. Folks, God gave us each other. Amen. My family is scattered around the country right now. I've got two children here, one I guess he's in Seattle nowadays, north of Seattle, and then one up in Wyoming. And my daughter flew back down about a month ago. You heard her play piano and come to church. And when I saw her at the airport, I hadn't seen her for a long time. Just seeing her just brought joy to my heart because I love her. But when I see you folks, it brings joy to my heart. And we should be that way with each other. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. I guess I could read that four or five times and it might have more impact. You know what it means to be kind? The word affection means to have love. We know a brotherly love is a specially strong kind of love. In fact, it's that word, that phileo, I'm just sure that's what it is without even looking it up because of the word brother there. And it is a love that is a very strong love that we can have for each other. And folks, if you need to, work on that, but do it. Amen? Say, how am I going to do that, Pastor? Well, do what you can and let God do the rest. But don't let it go. It's very important. Okay, what's the next one? This is just a list he's got here, these responsibilities. He says, not slothful in business. You know what a sloth is? Slowest mammal. They move so slow that moss grows on them. Mr. Dahlman can probably tell us a lot more about them. I haven't looked them up recently. I know this, it can take one all day to get up a tree. They don't like to come down very often because it takes them a long time to get back up there. They move so slow, it's just frustrating to watch them. It's like, come on, get going here. Come on. Not slothful in business. Now, don't misunderstand. I understand the word business. We apply business to when you buy and sell things or when you operate some kind of a enterprise for purposes of making money. But you have business that you conduct yourself. I conduct business every day. I have some business I need to attend to. For example, I need to send an email to Brother Sharp and ask him some specific detailed questions about a sound system, and that's something I've got to do. And you've got things that you need to do. Folks, serve the Lord with some zeal. Put effort into it. Don't go, you know, the sloth, you think, I wonder if he's still alive. Yeah, I saw him move. And some Christians just think, I wonder if they're still alive. Oh, yeah, they were in church a while back. Be that person that's moving along, amen? Get things done for the Lord. I could encourage you in a lot of ways, but I will also tell you this. Don't be slothful in business. Pay your bills on time. Be on time when you go to work. Put your money in the right place, not the wrong place, and take care of your house. Keep your house in order. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent. Anytime you see the word fervent, that word seems to come up again and again tonight. The word fervent means it is very substantial. Fervent, like a fervent heat would be a great heat. Fervent would be, if you had something that's fervent, that means that there's a large quantity of it. And folks, our spirit, and by the way, just be careful with this, and I'm going to go out on a limb, but when you see the word spirit in the Bible, sometimes it's uppercase, sometimes it's lowercase. There are no cases, there's no uppercase or lowercase in Greek, not for the purposes that we use it for, like we make a title, we capitalize titles, we capitalize the first word in a sentence. Greek doesn't work that way. In Greek, they write everything in caps for a long time, that's all there was uppercase, and then someone said, hey, that takes too long, let's have lowercase, and so they wrote everything in lowercase, but they don't use it like we do to emphasize things. So when you see the word spirit in the Bible, you got to ask yourself, which spirit is that? Is that the spirit of God or is it my spirit? And I really do believe, if you look at the verse, it's pretty clear which one it is. He says, not slothful in business. Now watch this. It all is one sentence here. It goes together. Fervent in spirit. That is complementing that first statement. In other words, a fervent spirit is someone that is an active spirit, someone who's got a lot of spirit. We might use the phrase that way. Don't you like to find somebody that's like, I can pick on John. He's not here tonight. John Spade is an amazing man. He just finds stuff to do and does it. If it's broken, I didn't even ask him to work on the motor on the bus. They just went out there and said, hey, this bus needs some work. And he went after it, brought his son, the diesel mechanic, over to help with that. A lot of the time, John will come to us. Or he surprises me almost every week. Hey, I'm working on this. Hey, I'm fixing that. Hey, I'm doing this. That's the kind of spirit you like, isn't it? Let me ask you this. When the Lord sees you and I, does he see somebody who's a go-getter? Somebody who's zealous? Somebody who's active? Somebody who's busy, not slothful? Or does he see somebody who's taking it easy and doing as little as they have to get by? And folks, I want you to know something. You got to put enough effort into it, but you got to put effort into it that God deserves. It's okay. So you know how it is. There are folks that go to work every day. They do just enough to get by. And then there are the folks that go to work every day and they do as much as they can. They try to get the job done. They don't overwork themselves and try to get the job done. That's the kind of person God's looking for. He's looking for somebody here, not slothful, fervent. They both go together. And then he just finishes out that verse with this phrase, serving the Lord, because that's what we're all doing, isn't it? Amen. We talked about this before, I think, but when you have a full-time Christian, stop right there. We're all full-time Christians. You say, well, Pastor, but I have a job. I'm not a full-time Christian worker. You're a full-time Christian. You just happen to have a secular job. Secular meaning it's not at church. You have a job somewhere else, but you're still a full-time Christian. And why do you work? You work, because, for one thing, because back in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned, and God said, from now on, you're going to have to earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. So that's one of the reasons we work, is because there's a curse. But we also work so that we can have the things we need to serve God, to take care of our family, which is serving God, to send out missionaries, which is serving God, to provide for folks that don't have enough, which is serving God. So when you're at work, you're serving God. Mr. Gonzalez came in late tonight because he was at work. He was serving God. Folks, think of yourself as a full-time servant. Dead quiet. Think of yourself as a full-time servant of Christ. Amen? All right, we're doing great here. We got plenty of time. Here we go. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, this is encouraging, and we'll try to finish this sentence in verse 13 and 4, 12 and 13. Rejoicing in hope. Oh, I like that. Is there a reason to have hope? Let's talk about hope a little bit here. Do you have hope of eternal life? Oh, yeah. Have you seen it yet? Nope, but you're going to have it. How do you know? Because God promised it, and God cannot lie. I have no question. We're going to walk streets of gold. We're going to enter pearly gates. We're going to live with the Lord Jesus Christ in forever and ever. That's eternal life. What about between here and there? Here I stand, and eternity is down the road for me a little ways. Do you have hope between here and there? You ought to. The same God that promised you eternal life, the same book that tells you you can't lose it, says he will never leave you or forsake you. And in Hebrews, listen to how he says that. He says, be content with such things as ye have, for he hath promised he'll never leave you or forsake you. You say, well, I wish I had more. Don't do that. Be content with such things as ye have. As we were studying John the Baptist in our high school Bible class, and the soldiers asked John, what should we do? They wanted to please God. They heard John preach. They wanted to please God. And one of the things he said to them is, be content with your wages. Folks, by the way, your wages come from God, not your employer. Your job came from God, not your employer. Your gift, your talent, your ability, your intelligence, your hands, your capability to work came from God and not from you. Everything came from God. Be content. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Rejoicing in hope. Oh, if you can learn this, it's a lot better life if you can learn this. Don't lose hope. Say, but Pastor, it looks really bad. I don't care how it looks. Don't lose hope. It looked really bad when they threw those three guys in the fiery furnace. It looked really bad when David walked up and saw that giant. It looked really bad when the Egyptians were chasing the Israelites and the Red Sea was between them and freedom. Since when is how it looks going to make any difference in what comes out? God's the one that makes the outcome. And God delights in delivering us when it looks impossible. That goes for our church. That goes for our family. That goes for ourselves. Don't lose hope. Now, here's what happens. When you have hope, you have joy. He says, rejoicing in hope. If you feel like it's hopeless, you're not going to have joy. We hope. I think there's a verse up there. Oh, yeah. We hope in the Lord our God. What do you think? Is that a good thing to do? And what does he say? Happy is he whose hope is in the Lord his God. I like that word happy. It's not the same as joy, but it's close. Rejoicing in hope. Folks, don't be discouraged. Don't be downtrodden. Don't be Eeyore, if you know who Eeyore is. You know who Eeyore is? Don't be, oh, I love Eeyore. He's the guy not to be. Be Tigger. Folks, rejoicing in hope because our God is where our hope comes from. And he loves us so much, he sent his son to die for our sins. If he loves you that much, you don't think he's going to take care of you? Look at all the people in the Bible. Who did he ever fail? You won't be the first. Okay, got to do a couple more things here. We got 5 minutes. Here we go. Patient, we don't like this one. Oh, Mrs. Dahlman should be here to hear this, Greg. Take it home to her. Patient in tribulation. When you go to the restaurant and you sit down at the table and they order the food, I was hungry last night. And praise God for chips and salsa because that got us through. But we're sitting there at the table and I ordered my burrito and my wife ordered, what'd you order? Yeah, we got to ask you what to order. You'll order better than me when you go to Raul and Teresa's. But anyway, we ordered our food and I'm waiting. You know, it doesn't do any good to fret over it. It's going to come when it comes. And in the meantime, you just got to wait. And it's going to be good when it gets there. And it may not get there as quick as you want, but it's going to get there. They that wait upon the Lord renew their strength, Isaiah says. Patient in tribulation. Sometimes you just got to wait. Folks, tribulation passes, doesn't it? Now, these go together, by the way. These verses aren't written this way by accident. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, they go together. I got hope, so I can wait for the Lord. I can have joy, even though I have tribulation. And by the way, you can be patient or you can be impatient. It won't change a thing except you. It won't change when things happen. It won't change what God does. In fact, he may wait a little longer to teach you some patience. But folks, trouble comes. We're going to have tribulation. The Bible says in this world, you're going to have tribulation. That's a bad paraphrase, but it's the way it says it. I can tell you, you've been there, I've been there. When you're in tribulation, you don't like it. But you know this, God's got a purpose for it, and it will end. Oh, and by the way, one day, it'll all end. And we'll wake up with the Lord for all eternity. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Oh, this is good. This goes right with it. Continuing instant in prayer. Instant. We know what that word means. Instant. Right now. When should you pray? Right now. You got a problem? Bring it to the Lord right now. Now, there's a very important thing. You need to stop during the day and take time to pray and pray in depth. But there's times during the day you can just call out to the Lord. And just something comes to your mind, you worry about something, bring it to the Lord. John says to me, the fuel pump on the bus is bad. You know, I got two choices. I can worry about it or I can trust the Lord. And I thought to myself, I praise the Lord for giving us somebody that can fix it, but that doesn't mean we can get the part. That doesn't mean, he said that the part that they bought was the last one they had in stock. Praise the Lord, he kept the part in stock, amen? I say to myself, if God doesn't want the bus to run on Sunday, God will show us what else to do. But in the meantime, we just trust the Lord, but we pray, amen? We ask the Lord for what we need. All right, I'm going to stop right there. We'll pick up on verse 13 next week, but I think that's a pretty good list right there. Love one another in verse 10. Prefer one another. That means put Christian brothers and sisters in Christ ahead of those folks in the world. Don't be slothful. Be fervent. Serve the Lord. Rejoice. Have hope. Be patient when you have trouble. Pray all the time. Well, that's something to work on this week. Amen. Let's all stand and pray.